Look, I suppose it had been on my mind for the last year or so. I just thought that the amount of commitment that was going into it and the amount of effort I was putting in, that the enjoyment wasn't there as much. And I suppose I'm not this kind of lad that just turns up training and goes down to enjoy it. I'm totally wrapped up in it, so, and consumed in it. So I just thought, look, I'm probably not getting enough enjoyment in it, coming home from training annoyed more than I am happy, and I just thought it was the right time to call it a day.
I guess it's different if you're a younger player trying to break through, but when you've been there, you've been the starter, and you know you're trying to get your place back in the team, there's a frustration.
There's a frustration, and to be fair, there's 15 lads playing every game and 5 come on, and you can ask any of the lads that are there, any of the 5 lads that don't come on or 6 lads, they're frustrated as well, and it's just a tough place to be. And that's the same for any inter-county panel, but I just found that since I started, and I had great times playing the whole time, and I probably took it for granted, and then I had 2 or 3 years now of not getting as much game time, and I suppose I just found that with the effort required now, that maybe it was just the right time.
Mm. And does that mean then that maybe in the last couple of the seasons you learned to appreciate what you did achieve, or is that just coming in the last week with assessing your career?
You see, I suppose when you're in the middle of it, you're totally wrapped up in it, and you're thinking about the now and what needs to be done to get your place back, or to start, or help the team win. And I suppose you just take for granted what we had achieved, and I suppose the period from 7 to 11 or 12 where we were automatics for the All-Ireland semi-final every year.
Yeah.
I suppose you just do take it for granted, and you're kind of in a bubble, and there's a level of confidence there that when things start going against you, then things get a whole lot harder. And I suppose it's fine for me now, just having packed it up, and kind of nice messages I've been getting all week to look back and think about all the good times as well.
Well, let's bring it back to the start then, when you enter that bubble and that team, that Cork team, fantastic Cork team. Talk to us about first coming into the squad when you got that call, I suppose.
I suppose I came in and the back of, we won the Junior All-Ireland, I think it was 2005, and I just got brought in by Billy Morgan on the back of that, just to train with the team in the summer, kind of make up the numbers for AVB games and stuff like that. And I just, sure, to be honest, it was a dream during there with lads like Graham Canty and Alan Cork and Nicholas Murphy and Anthony Lynch, these fellas, and you just see straight away from them the level that's required. I always remember the first time I was in there, I was marking Gary Murphy from Nemo for 20 minutes of an AVB, and it was the craziest 20 minutes I'd ever played on the pitch. He just ran me up and down the pitch solid for 20 minutes, barely touched the ball, and that was it. I went away home and I said, God, I've a long, long way to go here. And
just another level
From playing, say, minor 21, it's just totally different. And I suppose that's gone on another 2 or 3 levels now since.
Yeah. And so you come in at that stage, and obviously 2010, like that's probably, for anybody looking from the outside in, will be the standout year, or was it for you?
Look, I suppose they were all great years, and I suppose because you won one All-Ireland in 2010, people seem to focus on that. But
yeah,
like, there was a huge amount put in starting with Billy, and he was there before I was there, and he set the foundations there, and he had a savage standard of professionalism that kind of carried on then, and got to an All-Ireland final in 2007 kind of as a surprise package. And they were great times as well for me. I was brand new in the door, only in the door, and you're talking out for All-Ireland final, like, it was...
Well, bring me back to that day, we'll say, and if I suppose your first training session was an eye-opener when you were, you know, with the senior team, the Cork senior team, for an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, well, I just remember I was a sub that day, and I just remember looking out at the lads and the president shaking their hand, and I'm thinking, this is so surreal. It's, you know, it's kind of just a moment in time, and it was something to embrace. It was amazing. And obviously the result didn't go our way that day, but I think at the same time it gave a lot of lads the hunger to realise that, look, they're good enough to be here.
Mm.
And I suppose then Conor came in after that and carried on Billy's good work and put his own stamp in it, and lost again in 9, probably unlucky to lose the final. I don't think we threw it away. I think people kind of say, oh, you let that one slip in 9, but that was an exceptional Kerry team as well.
Yeah.
And it went down to the wire. But I think then, look, we came back again focused in 10, and I suppose 10 was a crazy year, having to go through the full back door, playing 3 qualifiers, and never really sure of what the year was going to involve, and to get to the final and win it was just dream come true.
And be man of the match. I mean, like, that's always people, when I talk to players after a match, oh, this is bonus, you know, it's all about winning that medal. It must have been, like, is it now you can look back on that and really appreciate it?
Yeah, look, I suppose looking back in the notes, it's a nice accolade to have, but at the time it doesn't come into your head. And so there's another 2 or 3 lads that day, I know Dunnick always tells me he should have got it. So, but yeah, look, it was a dream come true. But to be honest, when the final whistle blew, I remember just having a sense of relief, because we'd been touted as winning it for 3 or 4 years, and we were nearly becoming the nearly men, and it was more relief than anything, just to get over the line. Yeah, and I remember going back to the hotel after the game with Moran. I went to bed for half an hour. I was just shattered, and you think it's parting and celebrating, but like, lads, even the bus was quiet on the way back to the hotel, until, because you're kind of switched off for half an hour. It was just, all the energy was gone from you, and so within the next 2 or 3 days were madness. But there were great memories.
What do you remember of coming back to Cork and maybe Aeroge?
It was fantastic. Just the crowds, the everyone happy, the street. I remember the South Mall was just, you couldn't see down the back of it, the crowd. It was just... having been there twice with a smaller crowd because we'd lost, and everyone being sad, and it was just pure moments of happiness. Went down to Bantry then, same thing, huge crowds again, down for Graham's homecoming. We didn't go to Aeroge, I think, for a couple of weeks after on a Sunday night, and that was off the wall as well, fellas. Didn't finish till 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. I had to go to Dublin for work then after. It was, you know, crazy times, and as I said, you take them all for granted. You're kind of in the bubble at the time, but I suppose when you're looking back at them, they were amazing.
And the pride you brought, your family and your club, and
I was very lucky. My mum and dad just always supported me from the start, kind of taught me what was wrong and right. And my father used to take me to all challenge games when we were minor. I remember being cross one morning for a Cork minor game because I wasn't called for the panel, and I got a phone call about 9:30 in the morning, where are you, the bus is waiting for you. I'd never got the text, and I remember my old fella driving me up to Mallow as fast as we could to get on a bus to play Galway in a challenge game. And in fairness, my two parents supported me unbelievably, and my girlfriend Maureen as well, she's been there since the start as well. She's been there since before I was minor, and she's been amazing as well. She's never complained once about the endless hours I'm not around, or she got a few good holidays out of it back in the day. That was about it. But yeah, just the two big influences on my life. And then, of course, the club at home are great as well. I have great friends back there. They've always supported me. Lucky enough to have won some stuff with them as well. And I'm looking forward to, you know, next couple of years playing with them, and kind of committing myself fully to the club. Because to be fair, you're not around the whole time. And patience wears thin on both fronts at sometimes. And I'm just looking forward now to committing to them fully.
That's great. And when you talk about the level of commitment there, I suppose, and how much it's changed, Daniel, since when you first went in to now.
Yeah, I think when it first happened, we probably trained in terms of days fairly similar, but it's just the amount of prep that goes into it now, between food, weight, analysis is big, you know, kind of watching things, stats, all that. Like, say I go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's the same for all lads now, and we're going out to CIT for 5, you're not home till 9:30, 10 o'clock, and that could be 2 or 3 nights a week. And I suppose it's just at a different level, whereas back in 2007, maybe 5 or 6, you'd go into Parky Ring on a Tuesday night for 1.5 hours and you'd be gone, because the prep stuff wasn't there, it just wasn't at that level. You'd still train very hard, but just everything else that goes with it wasn't there, the professionalism. But I suppose No, it's amateur players nearly playing as professionals.
How much of it is too much, Daniel?
I suppose for young lads, and for lads in college, and teachers, they have that bit more time, and there's no doubt when you're looking at the likes of Mayo and Dublin, you need to be that, driven and that prepared, because they're after setting a bar now that everyone else is trying to chase. And I suppose it's for the young lads, and I would say lads that are probably playing regularly, it's a bit easier because you're getting the rewards out of it. But for the older lads now that are 31, 32 and not getting as much game time, it's a lot tougher. And that personally for myself was one of the main reasons for the decision.
Yeah. And do you think there's an appreciation from people outside of the camp just for how much you're doing?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Like when you look at the media and certain portions of the media, the level of criticism is still too much. I know sometimes it's phrased as banter, but for say the management teams, no, I've been involved in their, like if you think that, I just remember Padder and their management team this year, if you and Brian as well before, if you think the time the players put in, they put in double it.
Yeah.
And all the players as well, they live and sleep it, like it just consumes their life really, and you don't have much time in your life for anything else. And I suppose then when a performance doesn't go your way and you play badly, and the players are the first to feel it, they're the first to know that they've left themselves down. And I suppose criticism then is probably just unwarranted, because there's not a need for it really. The players know themselves.
It goes without saying, like, yeah, the last couple of seasons you've shipped quite a bit of it.
Yeah, and definitely there's times I've left myself down on the pitch and the rest of the lads have, but no one ever intends to do that. They go out. No one's ever going out to play bad or not put in a performance. And unfortunately, at the level you're at now, if you're 5% off the top of your game, you're way off the pace. And I think probably the last couple of years we've just lacked a bit of confidence, and that's what's happened.
We talked about, you know, you mentioned percentages there, and we talk about stats and analysis and the level of preparation that goes in, Daniel. But the game's changed an awful lot, and I'd say you can identify hugely the differences from when you started 11 years ago.
Yeah. Definitely, when I started, especially minor 21, you come in, it's 15 on 15. Your primary job is win your own ball, put it over the bar, or give it to someone else to put it over the bar. You're marked by your own man, and it's kind of one-on-one. As a forward, I'd say up to 2008 or 9, you were barely asked to tackle.
Yeah.
But I suppose in the last couple of years, since Donegal came in with the blanket defence, it's changed an awful lot. It's your 15 players have to be able to move up and down the pitch numerous times and have to put in big tackles and big hits. And I suppose that especially as an inside forward, I think your chances of scoring and getting one-on-ones with your men are unbelievably limited now, and the amount of times you're asked to track back and put in tackles is way more. So the game has changed a huge amount, and I suppose the kind of traditional sense of it, of winning your own ball and turning, put it over the bar, isn't there anymore. If you look at all the scores now these years, the amount of forwards that are putting up big scores from play in comparison to probably 5 or 6 years ago is halved at least.
And that must have been another frustration for you as an inside forward, you know, with the way it changed and the way your role had to change.
I enjoyed the last couple of years. I'd say any of the lads that were inside with me would agree, we had to get way fitter.
Okay.
We did a lot of fitness work, and the last two managements have put a lot of pressure on us for tackling, and that's very enjoyable too. But
it brought a new challenge.
It's a new challenge, and yeah, definitely had to change the way I played a bit. But I suppose when you're looking, if I was a manager and I'm looking for players that can do both well instead of one fella that can score a lot but maybe not tackle that great, there's a choice to be made. And Most managers now in the modern game seem to want 15 players that are unbelievably intense and work very hard and will chip in with their two or three scores. And it's a more team game probably. There's not the need for the one individual or two individuals that kind of carry teams anymore. That kind of day is gone. And I suppose I was laughing at Woolley's article there during the week about the lazy corner forward. I was saying over the last couple of years anyway, there could be anything about our lads, there was nothing about laziness anyway. It's just, I suppose when you're working so hard defensively, it's trying to get to the other side and get yourself in a position to score is very, very hard.
Yeah. So where do you see the game going? I mean, are we going to come full circle, or, you know, will we move past this defensive system and time in the game?
Well, I suppose if you look at the two final or the two games this year, it wasn't overly defensive. I think it was two very, very good football teams that were excellent defensively, but they didn't play overly defensive at the same time. I think it's gone away a small bit from the 15 men behind the ball.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think going forward, it's going to, there's just going to be even more athleticism, more big hits and power. And I suppose why Dublin are so good at the moment, and Mayo, to be fair, Dublin more so, that they have numerous amount of players that are very athletic, very powerful, but they're all very good footballers as well. I think you'd still, you'd, it's not going to turn into rugby where it's about driving and power, but at the same time, you still need the very good, decent footballers that can put the ball over the bar and give the proper hand pass and the proper kick pass and not make the mistakes.
Do we get bogged down sometimes to, in this defensive football game, and people giving out about the state of football?
I thought the two finals this year and were very good games of football in terms of the hitting, the intensity. Still brilliant to watch, but different to what the traditional football used to be.
Like we have to change the way we enjoy football.
Yeah, I probably think so, and I think now teams are very focused on not making mistakes and getting other teams to make mistakes and punishing them then, instead of maybe before having brilliant attacking moves yourself. And I think that's just the way it is. Players are going to get more fit and more, there's going to be even more intensity to the game, and games are going to be at an even higher level, but maybe just from a different perspective. The football, it won't be pure football, it might be more intensity, more hard runs, more turnovers, more tackling, and then the scores come from that.
And Daniel, how do you think the Cork team are going to fare over the coming seasons when we consider, I suppose, the last couple of seasons you've been involved in, and maybe this year when things didn't work out in Munster, talking about using the back door and the rest of the campaign to try and blood new players, and a lot of players being used this year, and how they can go forward?
Yeah, and to be fair, over the last couple of years, we've had some very bad performances, but there's also been some very good positives as well. Like Brian's first year, we finished top of the league. Got beaten by Dublin, granted, but like we're still at that level. Lost to Mayo by a point in the quarter final. Do you know, Mayo went down to the All Ireland semi final that year. Kerry beat them in a replay.
Yeah.
Last year, then, very unlucky to get relegated. I think four teams finishing on the same amount of points. Granted, the Tipperary game was just a disaster from start to finish, but again, weren't that far off Donegal. With a small bit of confidence and a bit of composure in the last 5-10 minutes, we could have beaten Donegal as well. So
everybody wants to see that back, Daniel. How are they going to get it?
To be fair, I think the management team have a good setup in place. The training and the professionalism is excellent. I think it's just a bit of confidence, number one, from the management and the team themselves. I just think there's a couple of tough years, and I think two or three very good performances can change it. There's a lot of good young lads coming in. Just think everyone needs to look at themselves and realise what needs to be done to get to the bar now, because to be fair, it's Dublin and Mayo have taken it to a place, and Kerry as well have taken it to a place that it's never been before. So everything that needs to be done needs to be lifted in terms of how you prepare, how you mind yourself, how you train. And then I suppose these periods in game where Cork seem to go out of it and make mistakes, and kind of these 10-minute spells where Cork lose games, they need to just get rid of those and try and minimise them as much as possible. And like I don't think it'll take a huge amount in terms of work, but I just think the bit of confidence and the acknowledgement that this is the real deal, I think that Cork can come back and start competing for Munsters again and lead on to All-Ireland.
Good stuff. You said we there rather than, and then corrected
yourself.
I'm
so used
today
to saying it.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. I know. But it just made me think, what are you really going to miss about it now?
I'll miss the camaraderie, the friendships with the lads that are still there. Like the dressing room has always been great fun. Going to games, the bit of celebrating after, drowning the sorrows. Then I suppose just being involved. I've been lucky enough to be involved in four setups where the professionalism and the expectation to get the best out of yourself has always been there. And that brings very enjoyable parts as well. Like it teaches you a lot of things as a sportsman and as a person about, you know, you need to put the work in if you want to get the best out of yourself at anything. And taught me a lot of good things about myself. So I suppose being involved in an elite setup like that will be, I'll miss that too. And I suppose finally the big games and playing at the highest level and the buzz that comes with it.
What do you think he'll be like as a supporter?
I'd say I'll be cutting the back off everyone. I'm looking forward to seeing it from the other side as well. I was a supporter the last couple of years from the bench for a lot of it, so that's different as well. But be nice now to support the lads for the year ahead and hopefully watching them do well.
And obviously, as you mentioned at the outset, it's an opportunity now to spend more time with Aeróg and hopefully achieve with them over the next couple of years, because, you know, you weren't far off it this year.
Yeah, I suppose I better put in that I spent some time with Moran as well first. Yeah, probably the first thing. But after that, there's great work being done out in Aeróg as well. And there's a lot of lads my age as well that probably want to have one or two more goals at trying to get up senior in the football and trying to get up into media premier in the hurling. And there's a lot of very committed young lads out there as well. So the future's bright out there, and just looking forward now to next 4 or 5 years, hopefully having a good cut off that.
Good stuff. Well, enjoy that with Aeróg, and as you mentioned, Wearing as well, a big fixture this winter, so enjoy that yourselves.
Thank you very much.